faith. So I'm just going to pray for us again and just pray that God would use this time to speak to us. So let's pray. Father, thanks so much for who you are, just our loving Father. And on this Palm Sunday, we're just so thankful to you, Jesus, for being the humble King, that you just come and just minister to us no matter what, no matter if betrayal or knowing our shortcomings. And we're just thankful. We're just grateful for your ministry. We're grateful for your ministry this morning. And as we turn to your word, we pray that you would speak deeply to us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're in our Envision series, and we're preaching through our vision. Our vision's up here on that banner hanging here. By the way, I just wanted to mention, we're watching the Azusa Now video. I just felt just overcome at that time. I watched that video before in preparation for the announcement, but really that video is really our vision, where it's a united revival. It's mentioned about the nameless, faceless, placeless revival, but it's about not just our church and our city, really about a generation and a world experience a passionate pursuit of God and massive salvations. And so we'll be at Azusa Now, really just uniting with the city and uniting with really the world in this generation with a global call to a revival. And so hopefully that you can join us for that. So as we're preaching through our the vision, we have our four core values. Which will be up on the screen in just a moment. But four core values. The second one is a spirit empowering, encounter Holy Spirit every day. And so for the month of March, we've been preaching about spirit empowering, encounter Holy Spirit every day. And so this morning, the title of the sermon is Carpe Diem, talking about spirit empowering, encounter Holy Spirit every day. If you could turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 20, that's going to be our passage this morning. Ephesians 5, 15 and 20 will be helpful for you to have your Bibles open there. And Carpe Diem, I named the sermon Carpe Diem from a movie. How many of you are familiar with Dead Poets Society, starring Robin Williams? Okay, lots of you. It's a movie from back in the day, 1989. But an American classic about a prep school English teacher who was teaching his students in very unorthodox ways. And he wasn't just teaching them about English, but really teaching them about life. And one of the concepts that he was teaching them, the teacher, which Robin Williams was playing this character, was teaching them about carpe diem, which is Latin for seize the day. And this today's passage in Ephesians 5 certainly has this element in it of seize the day, or the way that Paul puts it is make the most of every opportunity. So I wanted to show you this about 3.5 minute clip of Dead Poets Society. Carpe Diem, as Robin Williams, or the character of Robin Williams, is playing, is teaching his students about seizing the day. So let's take a look at this video first.
Now, Mr. Pitts.
It's a rather unfortunate name.
Mr. Pitts.
Where are you?
Mr. Pitts, will you open your hymnal to page 542? Read the first stanza of the poem you find there.
Did the virgins to make much of time?
Yes, that's the one. Somewhat appropriate, isn't it?
Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Old time is still a-flying. And this same flower that smiles today, tomorrow will be dying.
Thank you, Mr. Pitts. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. The Latin term for that sentiment is carpe diem. Now, who knows what that means?
Carpe diem. That's seize the day.
Very good, Mr.
Meeks.
Meeks. Another unusual name. Seize the day. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Why does the writer use these lines?
Because he's in a hurry.
No. Ding. Thanks for playing anyway. Because we are food for worms, lads. Because believe it or not, each and every one of us in this room is one day going to stop breathing, turn cold, and die. I'd like you to step forward over here and peruse some of the faces from the past.
You've walked past them many times. I don't think you've really looked at them. They're not that different from you, are they?
Same haircuts. Full of hormones, just like you. Invincible, just like you feel. The world is their oyster. They believe they're destined for great things, just like many of you. Their eyes are full of hope, just like you. Did they wait until it was too late to make from their lives even one iota of what they were capable? Because you see, gentlemen, these boys are now fertilizing daffodils. But if you listen real close, you can hear them whisper their legacy to you. Go on, lean in. Listen. You hear it?
Paul, in Ephesians 5, has a very similar message. Seize the day. Make the most of every opportunity. And so we're going to read this passage, and the question that we're answering this morning is how? How can we seize the day? How can we, carpe diem, to live a godly life as Paul calls us to? So let's look at Ephesians 5, 15 and 20 for the answer that Paul gives us, gives the church in Ephesus, certainly gives to us as this is included in the canon of Scripture. So Ephesians 5, 15 and 20, it's up here on the screen in the NIV version. So can you all read it out loud together? Be very careful then. Sorry about the formatting. Sometimes it's tricky to try to fit everything on a screen and it fits on my computer, but then I show up at church and it's a little bit off. So Paul's saying here, verse 16, he starts off and he says, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. The city of Ephesus, certainly it was a situation where it was there was a lot of evil. There was a lot of worldly temptations. It was a very materialistic society. It was very focused on business. It was a business center. It was also an educational center. So there was a focus on education. Education was some people's idol. And it was a lot of false religion. There was the great temple of Artemis in that city. And so false religion, false gods was running rampant. And I wanted to say that the culture that we live in many ways, is very similar to the city of Ephesus. We also, in our culture, struggle with materialism and struggle with making education our idol or false religions that are running rampant. Christianity is not widely accepted in our society. And so Paul was saying to them, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And certainly for us, in our life, in our demographic, in our culture, there's this similar calling for us. So the question is how? So let's first start off in verse 18. In verse 18, I'm going to put it up here in three different versions, three different English translations of the Bible just to help bring hopefully a little more clarity to it. So the first one, let's just read it again. This is the NIV, so let's read it together. Do not get drunk on wine. Also, the Message paraphrase translation, if you could read it out loud together. New Living Translation, another paraphrase version. So the situation was that in the city of Ephesus, there was one prevalent problem, and one prevalent problem was people getting drunk. And certainly in our culture, that's certainly an issue too, where in our culture there is an issue of people who are getting drunk. But in the city of Ephesus, there was a lot of worldly issues. In our culture also, there are other worldly issues. So Apostle Paul was really just making use of an example and saying, I want to use this example of a prevalent issue that you're all aware of and say that there is a tendency or a temptation for people to go in that direction and try to fill up their lives with those vices of this world in place of being filled with the Spirit. There's also that temptation for us. It might not be getting drunk. It might be some other way where we're going to this world trying to look for ways to fill ourselves up for recreation, for fun, to cover up some of the things that, the depression in our lives, instead of going to the Holy Spirit. When Paul was saying, there is this call to instead be filled with the Spirit. And I wanted to make mention of one thing in terms of grammar. In the original Greek, being filled with the Spirit was the present perfect tense. It's difficult to translate that into English. A present perfect tense was an ongoing, a continual being filled with the Spirit. Not one time, but continue to go to God, continue to go to the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, ongoing, day after day, or I could say, like our core value, encounter Holy Spirit every day. And so as there is this call to be filled with the Spirit, I think that most of us would agree with this point up here. How can we seize the day to live a godly life? Point number one, we need to continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit instead of following the ungodly patterns of society. Now, I think most of us, if not all of us, would agree with this point, would agree with what Paul's saying. Don't get drunk on wine, don't follow the vices of this world, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. But I would say that the problem, though, for us is that a lot of times when we start going towards the world, we're not actually aware of it. Right? There might be some of us this morning where we are headed towards the world, but because it's been a gradual process, we might not even be aware that we're there. Or for some of us, we might be aware that we're in the world, but we're kind of so deep into it to get out of it and just casually say, well, instead of that, just be filled with the Spirit. It may not be that helpful, although it's true, and we would agree with it. Let me say this. I think this is what Paul was saying. Paul was saying that as Christians, and he walked into the church of Ephesus, and he made this statement to them. He was saying, listen, you got to go to Holy Spirit every single day and get so full of the Holy Spirit. Be so in the presence of God over and over and over again that there is no room for you to be led into the world to get drunk on wine or for whatever other vices there are, but just keep getting so full of the Holy Spirit that there is no room or space to get filled with the things of this world. To that, you might ask the question, well, how? That's a great idea, to get so full of the Holy Spirit every day, go to Him, but how are we going to do that? Let's look at verse 17. Verse 17 says this. Let's read it out loud together again. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. For this portion of the scripture, I wanted to insert an illustration here, and this is talking about God's will, obviously, but let me make the use of an illustration of a will, or a last will and testament. Not that long ago, me and Evangeline, we drafted up a will, like a very official will. We got it signed by witnesses. It's often a secure place right now. There are certain people that know the contents of that will, but obviously it's not widely broadcasted. Some of you in this room probably have a will as well, and I would say that you would agree with this. We are not going to tell the contents of our will to anyone who walks in the room off the streets, right? Anyone who walks in off the streets, they don't actually really care to find out about the will. They don't need to know the will. We would only share the contents of the will with people who are close to us, who actually care about the contents of the will, who actually need to know the contents of the will. And so we need to, as followers of Christ, also see that God views the same way, that God also guards His will. And look at Romans 12, verse 2. We can read this out loud together. Romans 12, verse 2. Let's read it together. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. God is saying to us that he would guard his will just like the rest of us would guard our wills. And he's saying that we need to be people that are not people that are conforming to the pattern of this world, but we're every day getting transformed by the renewing of our minds. This also is not a one-time thing, right? You would agree that we can't just renew our mind once because we're going to go into this world. This world is an evil place. We go into this world, there's so many things that are going to distract us and try to bring our minds to a very dark and depraved state. And we got to ongoing keep on renewing our minds. God is going to release his will to us as we be people that continue to develop and deepen a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Let me put it like this for point number two. We need to cultivate a deeper relationship with Holy Spirit in order to fully capture God's will. 40 days of downtime. Some of you know that campaign. We just closed out on Friday. But I wanted to say that was a campaign, right? It was 40 days. And it was really good because we helped encourage each other. We set up a website trying to help encourage each other every day. But at the end of the day, or at the end of 40 days, it was just a campaign. That at the start of the year, we're trying to bring encouragement to our church to engage with Jesus, enjoy Jesus every day, enjoy Holy Spirit, encounter Holy Spirit every day. But I just wanted to make a statement right after the 40 days of downtime ended, that God's saying to us in Ephesians 5, talking about seizing the day, talking about encountering Holy Spirit every day, we're only going to be able to seize the day when the days are evil, when we're cultivating an ongoing, daily, encountering Holy Spirit every day, enjoying Jesus every day. Listen, there is no other way. So this morning, I just want to speak to you, church, to say, if that isn't the case right now in your life, where you are encountering Holy Spirit every day, having the time with Jesus every day that's set aside just for your relationship with Jesus, just for your relationship with the Holy Spirit, then it's very difficult to start talking about seizing the day, talking about making the most of every opportunity. Because I know definitely across the board, every single person in this room wants to make the most of every opportunity. There certainly isn't a person in this room that says, I don't want to make the most of every opportunity. I just want to waste my life. But Paul made it a point that he needed to go to this church that he loved, and he said to them, yes, carpe diem. He was teaching them the same way that the teacher was teaching his students, that he loved them. And he was saying, I know you want to make the most of every opportunity, and I want to call you to make the most of every opportunity. But there is no way for you to make the most of every opportunity if you're going towards the world and filling up with the things of this world. There is no way for you to make the most of every opportunity and seize the day unless you are being filled, present perfect tense, ongoing, every single day, going before the Holy Spirit. This morning, I hope that we can bring some conviction to our hearts, not for condemnation purposes, but that God would speak to us and quicken in our hearts if we aren't taking the time every single day to go to God, to know that God cares about us and wants us to seize the day to make the most of our opportunity, but the only way that we're going to do it is that we're cultivating a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit in order to fully capture God's will. So certainly, this is what we can do for ourselves. All right, in order to seize the day, to be filled with the Spirit, we go to God every day. We open up the Word every single day. We have times of prayer and worship every day. But can we help other people to also seize the day, encounter the Holy Spirit? So let's look at verses 19 through 20. If you could read this out loud together, 19 and 20. I had a pretty long conversation with my discipleship group probably about 6 months ago, some of you who were in the room, and we were talking about this exact passage. We're saying, what does this look like? What does it look like for us to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit? Like, are we supposed to, you know, just go up to each other if we run into each other at the supermarket and just start singing worship songs to one another? I mean, that would be weird. I mean, people think the Christians are weird as it is. Let's not make it worse and start doing that. But I want to point out what Paul was saying to the church that he loved. He was saying to them to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from our heart to the Lord, with a clarifying clause of verse 20. He's saying, how are you going to do it? Always give thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The way that we would sing and make music in our heart to the Lord, the way that we would sing the melodies to one another, is that we're just constantly giving thanks to God for everything. And in this way, we're actually seizing the day. In this way, we're actually helping each other get filled with the Spirit. If I come up to you and I start giving thanks to God for all the blessings in my life, the blessings in our church, the blessings in our city, that begins to fill others with the Holy Spirit. It also helps me to seize the day in making the most of every opportunity. When I was meditating on this passage, specifically these two verses, I kept thinking about my dad, a situation with my dad. My dad happened to be in the service last week, but when I was thinking about him, I was thinking about how he worked the same job in New Jersey from when he was 21 years old all the way to when he was 55 years old. He moved around in departments a bit, but worked as a civil engineer in the same company from 21 through 55. And so through the time that I grew up, he was working that same job all the years of me growing up. And I wouldn't say that my dad was ungrateful. Certainly he wasn't ungrateful for his job. In fact, I do remember times that he gave thanks for his job. But I would say, honestly, that it wasn't that he was always giving thanks to God for his job. So fast forward to when he was 55 years old. When he was 55 years old, he got laid off from his job that he worked for 34 years. And so he took that opportunity to also retire. So he retired at 55. He went home, and he was bored out of his mind. He literally started painting their house. They have a four-bedroom house. Houses in New Jersey are bigger than houses in Los Angeles. You know, there's more property space there, and so like a four-bedroom, 2,500 square foot house. He just painted it room by room. He just moved all the furniture out. He patched up the walls, painted one room. He would go to the next room. Move all the furniture out, do all the patching, everything, room by room, every single room. 2 years, he was retired. He was bored out of his mind. God opened up the opportunity for him to go back to work to another company doing civil engineering, and he went back to work, and he was a transformed man. He started giving thanks for his job every single day to the point that, if I can put it this way, it started getting annoying almost even. He would email us, you know, pictures of his office. He would email us all of the milestones of his work. He's been working there for 8-9 years, and always giving thanks. I want you to tune into this a little. For some of us, I feel like this is a very important word. For my dad, he started making the most of every opportunity by giving thanks. I wanted to say this. It's very interesting how this works. When he began to give thanks for everything, every single day, all the time, to the point that it was getting annoying, it actually began to open up opportunities for him. It's so crazy for me to observe my dad's career, just his life, because he's 66 years old right now. At the tail end of his career, as he's giving thanks every single day, all the time, giving thanks for his job, God, at 66 years old, is beginning to open up new doors that were never opened for him before. For some of us this morning, I feel like we need to hear this, because we're looking for opportunities. We're looking to seize the day. We're looking to make the most of every opportunity. And for some of us, we're in a spot where we're not necessarily giving thanks. You might not be in a spot of being completely ungrateful, but it might be, you know, a bit of grumbling, and maybe not every day thanking God for what you have and what God is doing, thanking God for the job that we do have, for the things that are going well. And I just want to say, just from my dad's experience, and just from me being kind of an objective observer, that he began to give thanks, the opportunities began to open. And I wanted to say, this is the way that we begin to fill each other with the Holy Spirit, right? As my dad begins to give thanks, and I am kind of joking about, you know, that it started getting annoying, because it really filled me with the Holy Spirit. It really filled me with the Holy Spirit to see him giving thanks after all these years, like every single day, and just being thankful for an opportunity to work, an opportunity to be productive, an opportunity to provide, an opportunity to be, as my dad sees it now at this end stage of his career, just a resource of the kingdom of God. It fills me with the Holy Spirit. So I wanted to say for us this morning, something that we can do just practically for one another as we just walk out of here and we go home to our wives or our husbands or our friends or our cell groups, and we just start giving thanks to God. And as we start giving thanks to God in just that simple thing, we actually just start filling each other with the Holy Spirit. We actually just start empowering each other to seize the day. We empower each other to go forth and make the most of the opportunities because the days are evil. You know, recently, if you guys have been around here at our church for like last year we've been doing 90-second testimonies, right? And we've been doing these 90-second testimonies. Just we'll do it today at the end of the service, but normally we do it at the beginning of the service. And I think that you would agree that when people come up here and start sharing testimonies about what God's doing or the healings that are happening or the answered prayers or salvations that are happening, it just begins to lift the morale of the service. Or I could say we start getting filled with the Holy Spirit. It fills us with the Holy Spirit when we start giving thanks to God. We're going to do that in just a little bit at the end of the service. We're going to do the 90-second testimonies. And I just want to say it's us making the most of every opportunity. It's us filling each other with the Holy Spirit. And it's even us opening up in the spiritual realm doors of opportunity that God has for us. But I wanted to bring an encouragement for us when we walk out of here today, when we go back to work tomorrow, when we go back to our families tonight. Let's go and let's fill each other with the Holy Spirit. I don't think there's a person that's in here that would say they don't need to see their family filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't think there's a person in here that would say that they know some people, some friends or coworkers that need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, so this passage that says pray, it said pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but we don't necessarily need to lay hands on them and pray for them. But we just go into work tomorrow. We just go home to our spouse later today, go home to our parents tonight, and we just start giving thanks to God. Just in your conversation with them, just start giving thanks to God. And know that as you start giving thanks to God, you bring in the presence of God. You bring in the presence of God into your home, into your marriage, into your cubicle at work, and it begins to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And people get filled with the Holy Spirit as you just start giving thanks to God. And so let us be proactive this week as we're closing out this series on encountering the Holy Spirit every day. Help someone encounter the Holy Spirit today and this week by giving thanks to God and bringing in the presence of God into the conversation and letting that release the presence of God into their lives. But I wanted to make this sermon very practical and like directly into it about just giving thanks and filling each other with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to do that. And so just for the first 2 minutes, okay, and literally I'm going to time it, so it's going to be really quick. Just turn to your neighbor, okay, and tell them something from this week that you're thanking God for, okay? It could be something huge. It could be something, you know, so-called small, but let's thank God for the things that he's doing in our lives and know that you are filling your neighbor with the Holy Spirit right now as you do that, okay? 2 minutes, let's thank God for everything. All right, are you guys ready? Okay, my voice is about shot right now because, you know, I've been getting over like a sore throat thing. That's why earlier my voice cracked during the sermon. So I'm going to hand the time over to Angela so that she can lead this time. This is a perfect opportunity anyway. So we're just going to share testimonies. Angela lead the time. And we're just going to fill each other with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to seize the day, make the most of every opportunity. And actually, in the Spirit, new opportunities are going to open as we give thanks to God. Are you guys ready? Okay, Angela, come on up.
Actually, I'm going to hand the time over to you guys. I'm just going to be handing the mic to you. So any testimonies that you guys have, just come up. Oh, I guess. Okay, fine. I'll just come up to you. So why don't you guys stand up if you have testimony that you want to share? Just stand up and then I'll hand the mic to you and we'll go one at a time in a room.
Hi, just want to praise the Lord. Last week we had an opportunity in our prayer team for a Chinese lady. And she was set free from idol worship and also fortune-telling. There was some baggage from the enemy. And she got set free and felt the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hello, everyone. I teach fourth grade, and I know fourth grade, they're really young. But there was this one fourth grader that recently came to our school from China, and he is very philosophical. So I make them write Bible prayers or prayers to God. And he's like, well, I don't believe, so how do I pray? And I said, well, why don't you just ask God your questions? And so he just had a lot of questions about what the purpose of life was and who is God and where did he come from and lots of stuff. And not very fourth grade. And we would try to talk to me and this other person would try to talk to him about God. And just recently we had a chapel about Easter. And he said, you know what, this Jesus guy, he sounds pretty cool. I think I want to believe in him. And then so I was like, okay, well, can I pray for you? And he said, yes. And then so keep him in your prayers. His name is Tony. So I think that's a praise God.
Anyone else?
Recently, I've been having some trouble at work, and I besides sharing it with my wife, of course, I also shared it with Pastor Howard. And so for the past several weeks, almost by chance, he's got to pray for me. And Friday, I learned that there's going to be a new opportunity for me to make a change in my job that will probably solve those problems. I don't know it's going to yet, but with Pastor Howard's prayers and with God's help, I believe he's made that change for me. And I bear this testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Sandra?
Okay, so in the past, 3 days, my school has been putting on a production, which is collaboration between the Creative Writing Conservatory and the Acting Conservatory. So I wrote a 10-minute play, and on Thursday night, which was opening night, my main actress, right before she went on stage, she told me that she had a migraine. And I regret not praying for her in that moment, but then I went back to my seat and I prayed really hard that God will heal her and that she would be healed. Friday, she was still sick, and I told her just go home, get some rest, sleep before that Friday performance night. And then Saturday, I saw the closing night performance. So when I went in backstage, I was like, how are you feeling? She's like, I'm completely healed, 100% healed. And then she went on stage and she had an amazing, amazing performance. So praise the Lord.
Anyone else?
last 3 months, since probably like winter break, there's this like friend that I have, and like she's been dragging me into like all this drama and all this stuff, high school, I don't know. And I was just like really stressed out, like emotionally, the entire time, because like there's just a lot of stuff that I was being blamed for that I wasn't really like supposed to be blamed for, because I don't even know what I was doing. I was just like talking to her. And so like recently I got like really mad, and I like just kind of told her off because I just couldn't take it anymore. And then so I just like for about a week I kind of got super mad at her, and she was kind of mad at me too for some reason. And then I like on Friday I was just super tired, and I just prayed to God, and I was like, can you please just like take away this anger? I'm tired. I don't want to deal with it anymore. And then I took a nap, and I woke up, and I was like, dude, I'm not mad anymore. And then and so I like texted her, and I was like, hi, I'm not mad anymore. And then she was like, yay. So yeah, thank the Lord.
Knows. I think last week Pastor Howard talked about being a cessationist, right before, and so I go to Talbot, and there's a lot of those people who don't believe in like healings or miracles, and so sorry, right here, it's better. What happened was my friend, my classmate, he actually has a shoulder injury. He loves rock climbing, and he's 33, but he's injured it since 17. And I was actually a little apprehensive and scared praying for him, because he has a lot of stuff to say about people who believe in like healings and different things, but I just really felt convicted by the Holy Spirit to pray for him. So I was like, yeah, can I pray for you? And I know we're in a Christian community, so that shouldn't be weird, but then I just felt this type of fear, and I think that was coming from Satan. But then anyway, so I prayed for him, and he didn't say anything right away, but the next few days I just kept praying really hard for him. And I just got a text from him yesterday, and he's like, you know, my shoulder has been healed. You know, 16 years of pain, and he was pain-free. And so I'm just really thankful to God for just showing up, you know, showing him that he can heal, and, like, the healings didn't just stay in Bible times and, like, Old Testament, New Testament times, but it's like God still heals today, and he's a healer God. So praise God.
Anyone else? Last minute? Oh, yes. Thank you.
Today's my one-year anniversary for my new job. And yay! And it's been a really hard year because my office mate is a really negative person about the county. I work for the government, and she kept on telling me, like, it's really hard here, and our boss is, like, super strict, and she doesn't really give like good evaluations, but she gave me like really, really good evaluations. So I was really like humbled and thankful that I think God really gave me favor at work. So yay, praise God.
Anyone else? Last chance. Okay, well, I have one. So yes, I'm putting the mic up. For 6 years, I had wanted to go to this industry trade show for film and broadcasting, and I knew I wasn't ever able to go because, you know, it's out of town and tickets are expensive. But I don't know. I wasn't even praying about it. I wasn't even thinking about it. But then one of my old film friends, she had an extra spot with her company, and so they had an extra spot in her hotel room, and then also she gave me a free ticket, so I'm going there for free, I'm living there for free, and it's just something so small, but I'm just so thankful that God thought about that for me, and so, yeah, thank you, Lord.
just going to share one more testimony, just personally for me. My mom was here last week, and she came forward for the time of healing. And that actually really surprised me, because my mom's not like that, to come up in front of 100 and some people, especially because it was something that was a little bit embarrassing, because she had fallen in a parking lot on Friday, and she tripped over one of those dividers, and she hit her face, and she hurt her knee. And we had already prayed for her, when it happened, and it was still painful. It was painful, through Saturday night, and then Sunday morning she was here. So when she came up, I wanted to say, I know we definitely always need to have faith for God's healing, but maybe this will help relate to you. There's not all the time that there's that type of exuberant faith that's in me, but my mom received the complete healing on her face. I mean, it went down to zero, if you remember, if you're here last week. And so I kept asking her, that day, that night, and then the next day, is it gone? Is it completely gone? Did it stay gone? And it stayed gone. And so I just really thank God for the healings that have been happening in our congregation. I want to thank God for the healing on my mom, and just know that is, to me, it was a faith increaser in that. So I want to thank God for that this morning. Amen. You can clap for that. God is healing people. Okay, so let's pray together, and I want to lead us in two responses to today's sermon. Worship team, you can come forward at this time. Prayer team, you can come forward at this time as well. And here's the two things that I feel like God wants us to respond to. This sermon, or this passage, was about opportunities, making the most of every opportunities. And some of us right now, we have some opportunities that opened up for us. And we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to make the most of the opportunity. So I just want to pray for you this morning. If you're here and there's some opportunity that has opened up, I want to pray that you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit to make the most of this opportunity. All eyes closed, heads bowed, just to make this a private moment. Just put your hand all the way up and then down. If there's some opportunity that has opened up, you're saying, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit to make the most of this opportunity. Just hand all the way up and then down. That's just you communicating with the Lord. So, Father, we pray that you would fill us whose hands were raised with the Holy Spirit to empower us to do this for you, to seize the day, to make the most of the opportunity for the glory of Jesus Christ. For this next response, please definitely keep your eyes closed. Let's definitely make this a private moment, because in line with this passage, Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, or the Message version that could waste your life, NLT that could ruin your life, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you here this morning and there's something in the world that has captured your attention, that seems to be dragging you down and dragging you away? And God said, instead of that, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Please, everyone, just keep your eyes closed. Just make this a private moment for people to respond and talk to God. Are you here this morning and there's an area in which you struggle, where you would acknowledge that you're being pulled into the world and being filled up with the world, but that you would say today, Father, fill me instead with the Holy Spirit? Could you put your hand all the way up and then down? This is in the privacy of this church community. All our eyes are closed, but that you would just put your hand all the way up and communicate that to God. So, Father, we come before you, and we thank you that you care, and that even on this Palm Sunday, that you'll always come. Even if you are walking to your death, that even while we were still sinners, you died for us. And so we just thank you, God, that you are here walking with us. We pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit in place of those things that we're filling ourselves with in this world. Father, we pray that you would release your presence even as we sing this song of response. Fill us in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together. We're going to close out the service with two songs, real appropriate songs, I would say, in response to this message. Our prayer team's up here to pray for any and all needs. If it's related to those two things, we'd love to pray. If it's other things, we'd love to also pray. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you to do your ministry. We want to encounter you, Holy Spirit, every day in Jesus' name. Amen.